There are some songs that are born to make you weep. Robin looks like he's about to break up laughing.
Sorry.
I'm Bob Boylan with All Songs Considered. I'm here with Katie Presley. And this is Adagio for Strings, Samuel Barber, written in the middle 30s.
We're going to be holding hands throughout the whole show today.
One hand in another.
Don't touch me.
The other hand with a hanky.
Mm-hmm.
This show is about the songs that make us cry. And sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes the songs that make us cry, it's just there. It's in the music. But sometimes it's all about association. That's right.
We put a call out to our listeners. Tell us about the songs that make you cry. And this was one of them. AC/DC's Highway to Hell.
Should we crank it?
Yep.
So
kind of breaks my heart that this makes someone cry because I love this song.
Well,
so much.
With those call outs for songs that make you cry, we ask people to tell us stories. What made this person?
This came from a listener named John, and he says, "My dad never liked how sad funerals are. Prior to his death, my father requested I play Highway to Hell at his funeral. In 2007, he died at the age of 63, and that's exactly what I did. Now, every time I hear the song, I get misty-eyed thinking of him. I caught AC/DC at Coachella this year and couldn't hold back the tears from the first chord when they started playing their big hit as an encore. That day, I wore a pair of his, my dad's old jeans, and one of his work shirts. It was a magical moment.
Oh,
that is
God.
So beautiful.
Yep. Gonna spin it! Hey, I'm in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. Wow, I'm on the highway to hell.
Crazy, unlikely, but there it is. Associations make great stories, make one cry, make one never forget. And we had another rocker that just would not have ever thought of as a song to make one cry, but here we go.
It's a woman named Brianna who told us a story about her two brothers. And when her two brothers were growing up, they made a pact with their best friend. These three boys, as childhood friends, agreed that whoever was to die first, the other two had to play Lynyrd Skynyrd's Free Bird at their funeral. And one of the brothers, his name was Brad, he died of cancer when he was just 22 years old. And so just as they had agreed to do, they played Freebird at his funeral. The surviving brother, his name was Chase, was a musician, and he did his own version of it. Then something happened, and I will let Brianna pick the story up from there.
Then the unimaginable happened. 5 years later, Chase, who is now 26, was killed by a drunk driver on I-35. Headed to a show that he was supposed to play in. My parents had to bury another child. I lost another brother, and my family had to do this all over again. The question of Freebird came up. Would we play the audio version, Chase's version, or just not play it at all, as we were so grief-stricken? Chase's funeral had a much different light to it than Brad's. Of course we were celebrating his life, but we all sat there in the same spots we sat 5 years ago. Just now more angry with the world, questioning humanity and the lives we led, asking what did we do to deserve this. The day before the funeral, Carl came to my family and said he would continue the pact and play Freebird for Chase. It was beautiful, it was sad, and again not a dry eye in the auditorium. When I'm in the car with friends or family and Freebird comes on the radio, I know that every single person is thinking of them. So many people are affected by this song, not just my family. We all shed some tears when we hear it because it brings them back for just a short amount of time. For me, Freebird resurfaces so many difficult emotions, but I am so thankful for that song because without it, I would ultimately feel lost.
So you were saying, Bob, that the presence of Freebird on this list surprised you, but actually I gasped reading through these entries when I saw that, because Freebird is exactly the song. I have been to a funeral where Freebird has been played, and it is the song my beloved sister requested for her funeral.
Wow.
So I will face the same questions that Brianna did.
I get it. It never would have come to mind, but I get it. For sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You got a song that makes you cry, Katie?
I have many, but I brought a particular
one. A bundle of tissues.
Yeah, I did. I brought a bundle of tissues. That we forgot those. That would have been clever. So for as long as I have known of her, the singer-songwriter Patti Griffin has been a wound and a gift to me and my life. I discovered her in high school, and when I was in college, I had a year span where 12 people that I knew, that I cared about, family or dear friends, were killed. And
12 in 1 year?
Mm-hmm. It was almost in a summer, but if I open it to a year, it's 12. So in the course of that time, yeah, 12 people were killed. A woman that I worked with was paralyzed in a car accident as we were both driving to work. I was diagnosed with a major illness in the same time, and so for a while, there was a brief time in there where I was sleeping in my car, and my only companion at that time was this song that I picked by Patti Griffin. It's about being in deep pain and feeling like no one else in your life has access to that. In the song, she references a best friend who doesn't understand what she's going through. She references an empty apartment. She doesn't have a lover. She doesn't have anyone to come home to. She even mentions a religious figure being needed and not found to help her through this pain. So this song is called Moses. It's by Patti Griffin.
To cross the sea alone in this part, this red river.
So it's a 3.5 minute song, and it just encapsulates an entire emotional experience. She's got that crystalline soprano. She rises almost to hoarseness in the middle of the song, and by the end, she's just, she has this really beautiful, soft, resolved vocalization that takes her out of the song, and it's always just her and the guitar. She has been a fine companion to me.
That's awesome. What a story.
You know, that makes me think that how so many of these stories and songs that we got from listeners, while a lot of the songs were definitely sad songs or were just real tearjerkers, there weren't any that were just flat out depressing and ended on a horrible note, right? I mean, all of them, there was a little bit of hope in just about everything that we saw.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of, I think, in the end, what tears bring us to. I mean, there's something that we cry for a reason. Mm-hmm. We cry for a reason that gets us to cry, and the act of crying helps us move forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm much more likely to tear up when I see something really beautiful, a complete gesture of self-sacrificing gesture, mm-hmm. or something beautiful that someone does for someone else is much more likely to choke me up.
And we had a musician the other day come in to do a Tiny Desk, Christopher Paul Stelling. I was talking to him about songs that change him. You know, what is a song in his life that might change him? And he said, I don't know, but I know a song that makes me cry. And I hadn't even told him we were doing this
theme
show.
Oh,
really? Yeah,
yeah. Awesome.
And I said, don't tell me. Let's go in the studio. It's Take It With Me from Tom Waits. Christopher Paul Stelling, your eyes are closed, but if I play this song for you, what happens?
They'll fill with water, Bob.
No one knows where we are. It's a long time since I drank champagne. The ocean's blue as your eyes. I'm gonna take it with me when I go.
Tell us about this Tom Waits song.
I drive a lot.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes late at night.
Yeah.
And this is the one that will just, I've pulled over it at rest stops before, particularly the last verse. I think it's one of the most just beautiful verses. I think it kind of like sums up poetry in general.
The song's called Take It With Me. The last verse, should I?
I'll tell it to you.
Yeah, tell it to me and then we'll hear it.
In a land, there's a town. And in that town, there's a house. And in that house, there's a woman. And in that woman, there's a heart that I love. I'm going to take it with me when I go.
Oh, my God.
It's devastating.
Get the hankies!
In a land, there's a town. And in that town, there's a house. And in that house, there's a woman. And in that woman, there's a heart I love. I'm gonna take it with me when I go. I'm gonna take it with me when I go.
With us, buddy.
Yeah. It's just incredible.
Is there anybody in particular you think of? Can you say?
Everyone has to feel that at some point.
Yeah.
A lot of times in like popular culture, we're afraid to confront death and loss. But I really think that those things are fundamental to the reason why we have art in the first place. As a coping mechanism, as some place to put our feelings when they get too big for us to hold on to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Thank you, Tom Waits.
Thanks, Tom, for everything.
I loved the look on your face when you said that. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Bob.
Christopher Paul Stelling, a great finger picker, great guitar player.
And he's got emotional songs himself.
He sure does. Robin Hilton, this day is actually shaping up to be a sad one. I don't know whether we'll weep or not, but we'll see by the end.
We'll hug it out for sure.
This is the day that's our last show together for an awfully long time.
For at least a couple of months. Yeah, I'm going out on paternity leave. You know, something that Christopher Paul Stelling mentioned there is that he doesn't think people, you know, that we're taught to know how to confront and deal with death. And the art is a great way to do that. And I think of Sufjan Stevens' most recent record, Carrie and Lowell, which was exactly that.
Yeah.
A record all about, you know, Sufjan's mother abandoned it. She had, she was schizophrenic and a drug addict, and she abandoned him when he was just a couple of years old. And then she died recently of cancer, and he was by her bedside when she died. And he wrote this record to process his feelings and how he was making sense of the very complicated relationship that he'd had with his mother. And the song on Carrie and Lowell is the record. The song that just absolutely slays me is a song called 4th of July. It's a song written from his mother's point of view, and she's addressing him. But it's not just from his mom's point of view addressing him. It's his mom's point of view after her death. So she's speaking to him from beyond the grave. And she, in the song 4th of July, she apologizes for leaving him, and she just wants to know if he's okay.
I know the line. I'm already choking up. Let's hear it.
Well, you do enough talk, my little hawk. Why do you cry? Tell me, what did you learn from the Tillamook burn or the 4th of July? We're all gonna die.
Gonna die. And it's not the line, we're all going to die, that's
no.
the sad part. That's the...
It's all the little nicknames she mm-hmm. has for him, mm-hmm. and that she just wants him to be okay. She just wants to know, like, I'm sorry I left you. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, but I just tell me that you were all right and that your life turned out okay. But, you know, my perspective on has changed so much over the years, especially since having kids. My emotions are right on the surface. I cry at commercials for, you know, whatever, acid indigestion, you know. It's like everything, you know, if Kodak commercials were still on, those would set me off. So a few years ago when we did our first ever episode about songs that make you cry, I told a story about my cat dying, and there was a song by the Weaker Thens that really choked me up then. And I wouldn't pick that song today, but it...
Post-Children.
Post-Children, but it definitely used to really get to me. And one of the listeners who contacted us this time, a listener named Parker, told his own story and shared a memory of hearing that show we did and hearing the story that I told about my cat. And I'll let Parker tell his story.
Robin, when you and Bob first did this theme back in 2011, you told a really poignant and heartbreaking story about the death of your cat, Ivan, and your first experience with a song by the Weaker Thans called Plea from a Cat Named Virtute. And I cried then listening to your story, but I'll tell you, I cried even harder when I dug into the Weaker Thans catalog and discovered that this song had a sequel. And Robin, for your sake, I'm really glad that on the day that Ivan died, you didn't hear Virtute the Cat Explains Her Departure. You see, Plea is about a cat trying to encourage and motivate her depressed owner. But on the sequel, on this song, Virtute gives up on him and leaves him to face depression alone. And the whole song is just absolutely heartrending, with a cat alone on the frozen streets of Winnipeg. But it's the song's final lines that get me every single time, as the only thing that these two characters have left to hold on to, the memory of their relationship, begins to disintegrate.
It had something to do with the rain, leaching loamy dirt, and the way the back lane came alive, half moon whispered go. For a while I heard you, missing steps in the street, and your anger pleading in an uncertain key, singing the sound that you found for me. When the winter took the tips of my ears, found this noisy home pigeons and places to hide. And when the voices die, I emerge to watch abandoned machines waiting for their men to return. I remember the way
cat. The story that the cat is telling here is about his life's pretty hard on the street since he left this guy. He says, you know, the winter took the tips of my ears because he was so cold and struggling to find something to eat. Yeah, it's a very, very sad sequel to the original song we played. And I want to thank Parker for remembering my cat's name.
Aww.
Ivan.
Yeah. That's amazing.
He was a great cat. Everybody loved that cat.
That was Weaker Thans.
Yeah, Weaker Thans. Virtute the Cat Explains Her Departure from the record Reunion Tour.
It's funny that I mean, here you have a song and then a sequel. It's also funny how sometimes you can take the very same song and people can find something so different about the song. Mm-hmm. It's a beauty of art. As an artist, you put it out there and then it's not yours anymore. It's everybody else's. Probably one of the songs most frequently listed here of the 6,000 or 7,000 entries we got was a song from Coldplay called Fix You. I already hear eyes rolling and I see eyes crying at the very same time out there. Katie, why don't you read us the first of the one of the many stories? We'll just do two here.
Sure. This story is from Evan. I heard it for the first time when I tried magic mushrooms at age 19. It came on while I was sitting in the car with a friend in his driveway, and I remember just feeling how powerful it was. I could feel it and see it, even. So I put the song on replay on the way to break up with my boyfriend at the time so I would look sadder than I was. It worked.
So let's hear a bit of Fix You from Coldplay, and then we'll come back. We have one more very contrasting story.
When you try your best but you don't succeed, when you get what you want but not what you need, when you feel so tired but you can't sleep, stuck in reverse, and the tears come streaming down your face, when you lose something you can't replace, when you love someone but it goes to waste, could it be
that mushroom story, and I like the idea of wanting to seem sadder than you really are. And the song did it for him. But there's a different way to look at the song. One of them came from Holly.
So many different ways. And this story from Holly, she says, I have two sons who've been diagnosed with severe autism and are both nonverbal. That was not always the case. They both suffered a major regression and lost their speech, among numerous other skills. It was devastating to watch my children regress right before my eyes, and there was nothing I could do to stop it from happening. The song Fix You reminds me of how hard I have tried to help my children overcome their diagnosis of autism of the regress kind. I know my children are in there, and I will never give up helping them find their voice. This is one of those songs here in this big this jam here. It's so euphoric and just bursting with hope moment. It's just filled with so much love and beauty, even though the underlying themes are just so sad. There's a resignation in this song that you realize you can't fix somebody or you can't fix everybody, but again, still that hope.
One of the more modern of the songs that we had, the 21st century song.
Yeah, about 10 years old. We mostly got a lot of classics, including one that was often mentioned, Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come. And of the many stories that people shared, one spoke to current events or more recent events. This is Kylie, who writes that, I was waiting for the F train in Manhattan recently when a busker started playing this on the opposite platform, and I remembered why it never leaves me dry-eyed. It taps into what so many of us feel as the U.S. burns from Ferguson to Baltimore. We feel exhaustion, grief, and anger that we're still living in a world where the statement Black Lives Matter is not self-evident. But then there's that little sliver of hope that swells in a crescendo, a prophecy and an affirmation. I was raised by 60s era leftists who might dispute this, but I think Sam Cooke knocked Dylan out of the ring with this one. Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come.
Like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. Up there beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.
Inspired by Bob Dylan's Blowing in the Wind, not too long before.
So Kylie's parents were right about Dylan.
Yeah. Although I think the saddest thing, and this is nothing to do with anything Sam Cooke knew at the time, but when he wrote this song, and he wrote this song because of the way blacks were treated, and he would go to a hotel and whites wouldn't let him in the hotel. And so that was one of the inspirations for the song. But Sam Cooke was murdered in December of 1964, December 11th. The song came out 11 days after he was dead, and he never knew the impact that this song would have, and how it was then taken up by the civil rights movement and made such an important part of American culture. Mm-hmm. And that thing makes me so sad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Well, yep. Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Let's play Flight of the Conchords. We need to do a show, songs that make us laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need to
do that soon. We'll do that. So, well, you guys will have to do it without me.
Yeah, well,
we'll be doing a lot of
laughing
without you, Robin.
Right. I have nothing to contribute to that anyway. So.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
God. I think often my sources of sadness is stuff like that where you just don't know.
Mm-hmm. You mean like missed opportunities in life, lost, like that there was a chance for something to happen and it didn't.
Potential, yeah.
Yeah.
No, loss of all that potential, yeah.
And in this case, the case of Sufjan Stevens' mom not really understanding, knowing her son. Mm-hmm. Like she has a son and doesn't know what he means to people, what he will mean because she's gone. Sam Cooke's case, the song he writes, he doesn't even know the importance of what would happen. There's a story written about a Roberta Flack song that has a similar sentiment. A woman has a child. Mm-hmm. You can tell the story, Katie.
So Margaret in Dallas, Texas, wrote us this response about Roberta Flack's "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face." Margaret says, I was pregnant, going to give up my child in adoption, was grieving for him and the father who was not available. Found my son 40 years later, still weep at the song.
Wow.
Finds her son 40 years later.
The response is two lines long and it's got everything.
First time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes, and the moon
worked at record stores when this song came out, and it's one of those songs that you hear over and over again, and it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful song. It's written by someone out of the same sort of genre that Roberta Flack came from. It was written by this British folk singer, Ewan McCall, for his lover at the time, though not his wife. He had one, Peggy Seeger, who was living in England at the time. And really beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words.
This is a song that was mentioned many, many times in the comments and in the call-out that we did when we asked people to tell us. When we asked people to share stories and songs that make them cry, we got close to 7,000 stories, way more than we could ever put on the show or even put on the site. But what we'll do is we'll put a playlist up, maybe a Spotify playlist, and include a bunch more stories and songs on our website, npr.org/allsongs. If this wasn't enough, you just didn't get enough tears out during this show, you can go online and shed a few more.
If you get started and you can't stop,
yeah,
keep it going.
I can remember when my son was about 5, sitting in a rocking chair next to his bed, and I started to sing a song from the most unlikely of singers, who was Ringo Starr. and the song was a song by the Beatles called Goodnight. It's so simple. It's just dream sweet dreams for me, dream sweet dreams for you.
Yeah.
And I never knew this until I actually did a little reading about the song, because I know Ringo sings it. I know George Martin produced it. It's the last song on the Beatles' Double White album. I knew those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned just today that John Lennon wrote that song for his 5-year-old son, Julian. And my son's name is also Julian. I love little coincidences like that in life. And today, Mr. Hilton, you're about to head out for your second child.
Second round.
You'll be away taking care of a child yet to come as of the taping of this show.
Right.
Though by the time we play this show,
yeah,
it could be the day of your daughter's birth.
It's just the greatest thing in the world. It really is. I love having kids. It just puts everything in perspective.
Yeah. Makes us all a little more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I will miss you.
I'll miss you too, but I'll be back come mid to late July.
Unless you win the lottery.
Yeah. We should get the lottery to underwrite us, jeez. Much as I mentioned them.
Love you much, buddy.
You too. Right back at you, good buddy.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
And you'll be sitting in his chair and filling, you'll leave a pair of shoes for Katie.
They'll fit.
Thanks. Cheers.
Close your eyes and I'll close mine. Good night.
Sweet dreams for you.